In thinking about this time of year, this we know that Easter is coming, and we know what Easter represents. Thinking about as it relates to that, so I guess we would call this Palm Sunday, and we'll read a little bit more about that later. But in thinking about that, I was pondering the thought about Jesus and what kind of anticipation and feelings that maybe he had. So the thought this morning is anticipation and feelings. So I desire your prayers. Think about us. Let's define what these words are. Now we're familiar with these. These are things that all of us experience as human beings. It doesn't matter what age you are. From children up to the adults, all of us experience these things. So anticipation is to give advanced thought or maybe discussion or treatment to something that you foresee or that you're going to have to deal with in advance. So in other words, if you want to break it down simply, it's thinking about something that's going to happen. Right? So that's what anticipation is. Maybe, you know, and the thing about anticipation, sometimes it's things maybe that we know are going to happen. And in some instances, it may be just the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes our minds can be bottled up in thinking about things like that. All right. So that's anticipation. And then feelings is something. It's an emotional state or reaction that we have it's an emotional thing that happens to us that we experience. All of us experience feelings. And it's a conscious recognition of something. So in thinking about these in anticipation and feelings, all of these types of things, they have an effect on us. Even though they're all take place in the mind, you know that they can have an effect on our bodies as well. Right. So these are things that all of us experience. And so feelings, life happens to all of us. Right. And whether it's things that we're expecting or if it's unexpected things, we deal with thoughts and we deal with feelings. And it's something that's common for all of us. We like maybe to relate to it mostly with things that are good. You know, and I think back on my own life and think about things that I was anticipating and maybe some different feelings that I went through. I think back, you know, when I graduated from high school, the anticipation of, I've done it. I've completed the requirements. I'm going to get my diploma. So I'll be finished with high school or that portion of it. Right. So then, you know, maybe I was anticipating and thinking about, well, what's next? I had plans to go to college. So then that was the next things that was going through my mind as I went through life. You know, and so maybe anticipating. All right. Now get through when I met all those requirements and got through college. Now I graduate from college. I'm gonna get my diploma, and I'll be able to walk across the stage, and then I can start life, right? Start living in the real world. So think about, you know, I'm trying to remember different feelings and things that I had at that particular time. Don't have to worry about going to school anymore. All I have to do is work. You know, things that many of you have been in similar situations and experienced things like that. Just anticipation. You know, hopefully when I walk up there, I don't trip on something and fall. You know, you can have thoughts like that and thinking about what might happen. Going through life, I remember in preparation for proposing to my wife. You know, wonderful. The feelings that I was having, the feelings of joy and anticipation and hoping that she said yes. Right? You know, that those kinds of things went through my mind. Well, what, you know, What if she says no? Well, thank the Lord she said yes. Amen. You know, and then this things that life, and you can think about maybe things in your own life that you've experienced that you had anticipation, you had feelings about things. And so I'm sorry for using myself an example this morning, but think about other stages of life. Thinking about an anticipation of being married. And all the planning and the things that goes into that. And, what if something goes wrong? Like, what if the electricity goes out? Oh, it did. But you know what? Everything worked out. It was okay. Everything was fine. You know, even in the midst of those things, God was faithful. God was good. And all the steps of life, no matter what we go through, the anticipation, the feelings that we experience, we can know that God is going to be right there with us to help us out, whatever comes our way. You know, then you think about, you know, getting stages of life. A child. What is it going to be like? I've never been a parent before. How is this going to work? Is everything going to be okay? And, you know, all of those things. You know, God was there. God was faithful to us. Help us along the way. You know, maybe even you think about, you know, your job. Is this the right job that God has? Am I in the right place that God wants me to be in? Just many things that might run through our minds in these different things. We have anticipation. We have feelings. So we have feelings of excitement and joy and happiness and sometimes some anxiety and maybe a little bit of fear. Then there's also things that maybe are more difficult. More difficult circumstances of life. I think about when I was a child. There's several ways in terms of these things. Some of these things, difficult situations in life, we bring on our own self. And some things are just out of our control. They're in God's hands and He allows them. So I remember being a child and I remember doing things maybe that I shouldn't have done. And then I knew that I was going to get something. I knew some pain was coming. And, you know, there was some anticipation and feelings about that, too. I knew that there was some hurts coming my way, that I was going to have to deal with it. And there was going to be some after effects. You know, sometimes we would have to go get the switch. You know, I knew the pain was coming. It's like, you know, maybe thoughts running through. Why did I do that anyways? I don't like this. Just, you know, that we have. So even in difficult situations, we have anticipation. We have feelings, things that we go through. Maybe we made a bad decision. And then we recognize I'm going to have to deal with the consequences now. Things that maybe go through our minds that we have to deal with. Think about a time when I made a mistake on my job where, you know, in my field with buildings, you make a mistake, it costs money. And I'm wondering, hey, I'll come into work tomorrow. Am I going to still, you know, feelings, things going through your mind. And even in times of uncertainty, when you don't know what's going on, We're human, right? That's part of our humanness that we think about things, we feel things, and it has an effect upon us. So why did I bring all this out? Why am I talking about my experiences of life? Because I want us to think about this morning, what was Jesus? What was His anticipation? What was He feeling in a week before, and even just not even a week, just the time before what He knew was coming. Yeah. He knew why He came to earth. Yeah. And he knew that time was drawing nigh. So what was going through his mind? What kind of anticipation did he have? What was he feeling in those times? I want to read several passages of scripture and for us to try to understand maybe what he was thinking about. And you'll probably not be surprised, he was thinking about us. That's what he was thinking about. Let's start in Matthew, the 16th chapter. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples, didn't he? So they got a lot of things firsthand, didn't they? So here's one of those times. This is, I don't know the exact time frame, but this is prior to, this is leading up. I'll say it that way. It's leading up to him being crucified. So let's read in Matthew, the 16th chapter. We'll read verses 21 through 23.
From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples
how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and he be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned, said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of man." So here in this particular time, Jesus is beginning to let his disciples know what was going to happen. He's letting them know in advance, and he's, in him letting them know, no doubt, there was even in his own mind, he was kind of thinking about it, preparing for what he was going to have to go through. So, maybe he was even looking for some support and some help and encouragement from those that was closest to him. You know, isn't that the reason why, if you know that you have to go through something difficult, why you share it with somebody that cares about you? Right? What do you want them to do? You want them to know. You want them to be able to offer some support to you. So I understand that you're going to have to go through something difficult. I want you to know that I'm here for you. If there's anything that I can do to help you out in your difficult time, that's what I want to do for you. So Jesus is trying to express to his disciples, there's something that's about to take place here. So he says there's a time. So he began to, and even in his sharing this with them, he was teaching them, yeah. Right? So in all this, he said, I want you to know, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to have to go and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. So what do you think maybe some of the disciples, they, no doubt they had some thoughts and feelings. They had some anticipation as well. Like, wait, we kind of like having you around. Right? Wait, what are you talking about? You're going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and you're going to have to die and rise. Wait a minute. It seemed like we're just now getting close. Wait, what's going to happen here? So they had some things that they were dealing with. And leave it up to Peter. He'd take everything that was going on in his mind and he expressed it, didn't he? And you know what? That's all right. If that's the kind of individual he was. And God used him, didn't he? God still used Peter even with that type of personality that he had. So think about Peter and what his, he expressed what he was feeling in anticipation of what Jesus let them know that was going to happen. He expressed, he's like, wait a minute now. This is not right. What do you mean this is going to happen to you? That's not, you're the Son of God. This can't be so. There has to be another way. You know, that's essentially what, if you allow me to elaborate a little bit, that's really what he was expressing. He's like, no, Lord, this can't happen that way. So even in his mind, he was having trouble comprehending what God's plan was. See, I mean, Jesus was, he was here on the earth for a specific purpose. Right. And he had a specific purpose to fulfill. And he's letting Jesus now letting his disciples know what was going to take place. And they're struggling with it. They're saying, wait, this is not right. It's not right for you to be treated that way. This can't work like that. And then Jesus had to let him know. No, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. See, you're struggling. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but those things that are of man. So in other words, he's letting him know you don't fully understand the divine will of Almighty God. That's what you're struggling with. You're struggling with the God's divine will for me at this time. So he's letting him know the reason why he said get behind. He said don't hinder it. He was essentially letting him know God has something planned. He has a specific plan for me and you don't hinder it. That's why he said get me behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that are of God. Don't try in any way to hinder what God's divine will and purpose is. He was trying to let them know and get them to understand that my kingdom is not of this world. Yes. I have a better place that I'm preparing. Let's go to another account here further along in Matthew, the 17th chapter now. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. Said, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So here, it's a little bit of time has passed. And he's reminding again his disciples of what is to come. He's anticipating what's coming. And no doubt having some feelings within his own heart and mind of what was going to happen to him. But I want you to take special note of something here. As we read in that 17 and 22, and he says, while he abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them. Now, this is what I want us to take special note of this morning. So we know that when we read our Bibles, what's in red is Jesus' words, right? Do you notice how he spoke in the third person? He was talking about himself. He said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. You know what I took from that? The fact that Jesus was still seemingly coming to grips of what he was going to have to go through. He's talking about himself in the third person. I mean, those of us that have spouses, if you turn to your spouse and be like, that husband of yours is going to have to go to work tomorrow. They would kind of, no doubt, look at you like, well, yes. But, you know, in thinking about this, it seemed like he was still trying to grasp what he was going to have to go through. So what that lets us know this morning is that Jesus, he felt what we feel. He was here in the flesh while he was here on this earth. So he experienced things that we experience. So there was a feeling that he had where he was even struggling, it seemed like, still trying to come to, Lord, I know what your will is for me, but I'm still trying to get there. So he's talking to them here in the third person. No doubt he was thinking what do I have to go through this? And expressing it to his disciples is even trying to get him to understand it more. And then as it says here that his disciples, they were exceedingly sorry.
Yes.
So they were having some feelings as well. And struggling with what? Wait a minute. Why do you have to go so soon? We want you around a little bit longer. You know, there was some feelings of we're not ready for you to go yet. Maybe even Jesus felt some of those same things. Well, Lord, I know that this is your God Almighty. This is your plan for me. But maybe he felt like there's still more that I can do here. Maybe he thought, I still have work to do. So in thinking about his preparation for what was to come, those things that he was anticipating and feeling, he was still grasping it his own self while he was here with his disciples. Let's look at another account. A little further along in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Let's read verse 17 and 19. Matthew 20, 17 and 19.
And Jesus going up to Jerusalem.
Took the 12 disciples apart in the way. And said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed upon the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So here it's a little bit more time has passed, but it seemed even in this passage that he was still working through it in his mind. Still speaking in the third person of the things that was going to happen to him. And as you go through the Bible, there are similar accounts in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. But this morning I want us to just think about that Jesus, he had feelings. He had feelings. He was pondering what was going to take place to him. He was thinking about all the things that he was going to have to encounter. Do we read at any point in time where it seemed like he shied away from it? He didn't. He yet pressed on and looking to his disciples for support and for help. So what this helps us to understand is that while he was here in the flesh, he had the same types of anticipation. He felt human feelings just like you and I. And even in the midst of everything that was going on in his mind, God was with him every step of the way. God was faithful to him. He didn't, we don't read where he came down and said, why are you speaking in the third person? I mean, we don't know what kind of conversations he had with God, but you know, he was coming to grips with what was going on, and God was faithful to him and provided for every need that he had, even in the midst of all that he was going on, that was going on in his life. And while all this was going on, did he stop instructing his disciples? Did he stop teaching? Did he stop healing? Did he stop carrying on the divine will of God Almighty? He kept doing it. He kept going. Even in the midst of all the things that was going on in his mind. And the disciples struggling. They, wait. Oh, it's too soon. It's too soon. Now we fast forward to less than a week before his crucifixion. This is when he comes into Jerusalem. So he came willingly. Let's read here in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew 21. I'll start at verse 1 and read down through verse 11. Matthew 21 and 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto the meek, sitting upon an ass and a coat and a fowl of an ass. And the disciple went and did as the Lord commanded them. And he brought the ass and the coat and brought them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees and strode them in the way. And the disciples that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazarene, of the Nazareth of Galilee. This is him coming into the place where he was going to be crucified. Coming willingly. In all the time and the preparation and the anticipation and the feelings that he was experiencing up until this time, he came to the point where I need to do the will of my Father. So he came here to fulfill the words of the prophet, riding in, and that's why they call it Palm Sunday, in terms of the branches that they laid down, that laid out the pathway. Here in this instance, he's being kind of worshipped as Hosanna. And in a few days, how quickly that's going to change. What was he thinking about? What kind of feelings did he have, knowing what was going to happen? Here in one moment, you're being celebrated. And here, not too shortly after, you're going to be crucified. The writer says he's coming now, meek, full of kindness and compassion to those who were plotting his destruction. He's coming into though the very ones that was going to deliver him, was going to crucify him. They say he delivered himself up into their hands. So now, I want us to think about something else. So there was some time that passed between when he came into Jerusalem and then he was crucified. Take special note of some of the teachings and words of wisdom that Jesus shared after coming to Jerusalem before his crucifixion. He shared the parable of the two sons. He shared the parable of the marriage of the king's son. He shared the first and the greatest commandment. You can read through this in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, up until the time that he was crucified. You can read about each of these the parables and words of wisdom that he gave to those. This is days before he was crucified. The parable of the 10 virgins, another one that was shared. He shared the description of Judgment Day. During that time is also when he had his feet anointed with oil. Then he had a feast of Passover with his disciples. These are just some of the things that in the midst of thinking about what was going on in his mind, this is what he was doing. Think about the impact of some of the ones that I mentioned here this morning. And when you have time, read about them. But the impact that he had on those that were living at that time with all of these little things that he shared. And how even for us today that have come after and those that have come after us, how we are blessed by these things that he shared days before he was crucified with different feelings and thoughts running through his mind. Don't you think that he could have had some hindrances? That he could have allowed some of those thoughts of anticipation and some of the things that he was feeling to hinder him from fulfilling what God wanted him to do? But he didn't. He did not. So when I think about that, I say, Lord, what about me in my life? What about me? What can I learn from recognizing that Jesus was here on this earth in the flesh? He had thoughts, he had feelings that he experienced in life, in going through the hardest thing that was ever required of a human being. And yet and still, he fulfilled the divine will of his Father. So Lord, what can I learn from this? You know what I can learn? What we can learn? It's okay to have feelings. It's okay to have thoughts of anticipation. That's all right. That's what makes us human. That's part of our humanity. That's how God made us. God made us to experience those types of things. But he also wants us to handle them in the way that he wants us to. That's what Jesus did. He didn't allow those things to hinder what his divine will and purpose was. So when I look at my own life and recognize that life is going to happen to me. It happens to all of us. But in knowing that life is going to happen, I know that God will be faithful. He's going to be faithful to me as long as I do what he told me to do. Help me to deal with the things that I have to experience in life in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you, just like Jesus did. He's our example. He's my example. And this, in spite of my thoughts and my feelings, as I go through life and different things happen, I still have a purpose that God has for me that I have to fulfill. Help me, Lord, to be found in that place. We all have that. God has a specific purpose for every one of his creation. And we cannot allow the things that we experience in life and that our thoughts and our feelings to hinder what God has for us to do. Because we heard about something recently. I'm not going to be able to offer any excuses. And all the things that we may have to go through and deal with and feel and experience is no comparison to what Jesus went through. And you know, the wonderful thing is the same God that brought him through is going to be the same God that could bring me through as well. So, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to have that same meek and humble spirit, Lord, that your son Jesus had when he was here on this earth. And what that helps us and helps me to recognize is I still got some work to do. I still got some work to do. And you know what? As I go through this life and I have thoughts and feelings that I can do like the brother told us about last Sunday, that I can lay them at his feet. Because whatever I'm experiencing, whether it's something that was a result of what I've done or something that God's allowed, God still will be faithful to me. If I follow his directions, if I say, Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, this is what I'm thinking about. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I need some help. He already knows. Don't you know God knew what Jesus was experiencing? He knew what he was thinking, even if he didn't express it. And God supplied what he needed all along the way. And we can be blessed and we can be encouraged by that as well, to know the same God that was faithful to his son Jesus, he'll do that same thing for me. That my thoughts and feelings that I experience, that they don't have to hinder me from doing his divine will and purpose that he has for me in my life. I desire your prayers. I recognize in this, this is for me. This is for me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. As I go through life, as I experience the things that I experience in life, help me, Lord, to do it in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you. To follow your example and know that you're going to supply me with whatever I need, with whatever I have to deal with as I go through this life. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. I desire your prayers that I would be found doing what our example Jesus did while he was here.